Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallen, SALLAN.com. We have very special guests right now, Peg Fitzpatrick and Paul Biederman. Peg Fitzpatrick is a positive vibe producer, social media butterfly, and the brand sparker for Redesign You. What a positive vibe producer is, I have no idea. Maybe she'll tell me. Design You, or Design You, is a synergy of high-end design, social media expertise, and traditional work ethics. Again, that's a little bit over my head, but I bet you she'll explain. Peg is also the director of marketing and social media for Cruisler, Inc., along with being a writer and managing partner at 12most.com. Peg created the popular My Book Club with the hashtag My Book Club, hosting such well-known guests as Guy Kawasaki, Mari Smith, and Dave Kirpin. In fact, I was on when you had Mari Smith on, and that was fabulous, Peg. Paul Biederman is creative director, owner of Redesign, specializing in his definition, strategic design, brand identity, and social media and communications. Do you think we have a little social media action going on here? Based in New York, Paul creates brands of distinction by intersecting design and business and blending traditional marketing know-how with leading-edge media tactics. He began his career at ABC Broadcasting, where, by the way, I also began my career, before moving to a design agency that created innovative campaigns for ESPN. As an art director at NFL properties, he created new graphic approaches for Super Bowl and Pro Bowl logos, team identities, national advertising, marketing campaigns, and licensed products. Whoa, this guy does a lot. Both Paul and Peg pretty much run 12most.com. So let's start with that. First, welcome to the show, Peg and Paul.
Hello there, Bruce.
Peg, are you there?
I'm
here with you. I am here. I was letting Paul talk first.
Oh, gosh. I can't imagine you let that happen very often.
No, and since we work together, we talk over each other all the time, so we'll try to be careful.
No. That just makes good radio. I mean, look at any of the talk shows. It seems like that seems to be the standard of a talk radio, is talking over each other, and certainly all those shows on TV, the news talk shows, all the guests are talking over each other. I'm kidding on the square. But let's start with 12most.com. What the heck is 12most.com?
Well, it's
can I take that, Paul?
Yeah, there we go already, you see. It's just an awesome website. It's a list site, and if you read blog posts, you know, there's all different types of blog posts, but ours are just nice, short, succinct lists of 12, of course, 12 most. Every title starts 12 most something or other, and they're very easy to read. You can read them all the way through from start to finish, or you can just skim the 12 points.
Is there one up right now that you had anything to do with?
There is. I believe somebody by the name of Bruce Allen also had something to do with one.
What is that one?
12 Most Loving Ways to Spark Creativity in Your Child.
And that, of course, can be found on 12most.com. And that is the topic of Dad Chat tonight. And that is why Peg and Paul are on my radio show, because both of them are parents as well. And given that we all work in creative fields, the idea of sparking creativity in our kids was a topic, in fact, that Peg and Paul suggested for Dad Chat when I invited them to come on sometime. So I'll turn it over to you now. Why don't you start share with us some of the ideas that are either in 12most.com on the column that we did, or any others that you like, or anything about this topic. Peg?
Yes.
Go!
Okay, creativity in our children. It is it's a great topic, and it's something that as parents, I think you start with from birth. You know, right when you have babies, you start talking to them and you start bonding with them, and things that entertain them are like making faces at them. It's using your creativity to engage them right away from the beginning. So the things that we tried to think about when we were writing this post, you know, we didn't eat, obviously each of us did our own sections and talked about things that we did with our own families. And one of the things I think that we all did was read to our children, but that's something for our household has been a really, really big, huge thing, reading to our kids, using different voices, you know, when they're younger.
Oh, gosh, yes. It's so fun to play act.
I know, I miss it.
Yeah, I got really into it. I think I shared on the post that I read the first three Harry Potter books from beginning to end, and those are long books. And
you'll never, you know, and you always have that memory.
Oh, it was a major, major highlight of every evening for several years. And then the movies came out because my boys were of that age when the first and then the whole series came out. And we would go to the movies. So it became a family ritual as well.
See, that's very interesting.
Have you been to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter yet?
No, they haven't been. What were you going to say, Paul?
I was just going to say, we tried the same thing and had the exact opposite experience. I got all the books, started to read them every night for a couple nights, and then it just never went anywhere.
Well, the lesson there,
the same way.
The lesson there, and I'm being totally serious, is different strokes for different kids.
Exactly.
I'm sure there were other books you found that no, Daddy, we don't want to go to sleep yet.
Right, absolutely.
So you never know. And that also brings up a really important point that I make a lot, which is we are our kids' parents. We have certain interests, but they may not be their interests. And it's really hard sometimes for parents to separate their own interests from what their kids are interested in. We can expose them to stuff. So, for instance, I was a jock. I wanted my kids to be jocks like me. I wanted them to ski and play tennis. Well, you know something? They just didn't care for that stuff.
Yeah, you have to let go at a certain point.
You know? Sure do, or you're going to create an incredible amount of resentment, and they're going to hate you later. So
yeah,
I had to let go that I'm not going to be playing ball with my boys. They're not going to come on ski trips with me. But instead, they developed, ironically, creativity in other areas, one in music and one in art. So it all worked out, but it took a certain amount of discipline on my side to recognize that they may have my DNA in this case, and sometimes, of course, our kids don't even have our DNA if they're adopted or stepkids, but they're not me.
Yeah, I've got two sons, and my oldest, my first son, I did everything I could when he was young to stimulate his creative, you know, spark, and he was interested in it to a point, but he became the athlete in the family.
So the opposite of what I experienced.
And showed no interest really in it, yeah, as he got older. But my younger son took to it just like wildfire. And he's the true artist in our family now. So you just never know, but you got to go with where their natural instincts lie, I guess, you know,
and
where their interests are.
What I'm going to say is a totally sexist comment, Peg, and you can bust me for it, but I would think that dads get a little bit more hung up on especially their boys doing the things that they want them to do, whereas I think moms might be a little easier on that. So I had a real hard time with my older son being so resistant to sports. When he was just getting out of elementary school, I gave him an electric guitar for his graduation present, and that started a journey of music for him that has culminated with him getting accepted into the Berklee College of Music, where he'll be going in the fall. Which is a prestigious college in Boston.
Thank you.
The only college he applied to without taking the SAT and with poor grades. You get in there strictly on the basis of your music. Good grades certainly don't hurt, but if he had good grades, it would have been probably easier. But he got in solely on the basis of his passion. So the lesson to me is I got as much joy, maybe more joy, watching my son play music as I might have watching him play sports. It wasn't what I thought. It wasn't what I planned. But the first lesson any parent learns is forget planning. I mean, it's that old phrase, you plan and God laughs.
Right.
Yeah.
The more you plan, the less sure anything is going to work out the way you think it's going to.
Yes, and therefore, really what a parent's job is to roll with the punches and to not be completely rigid except for certain areas that you want to be rigid on, like drugs and drinking and things like that as the kids get older. But what else? What else on this topic would you two care to share with our listeners?
I just think it's a great thing for kids to develop young. Filling your space, filling that alone time. When so many kids, say, I'm tired, boring here, I don't know what to do. In my life, it's been such an important part of filling those spaces, and I think that if you have interest in any kind of creative activity, you will never experience that the way so many others do, I think.
Boredom, you know, is what you're referring to.
Boredom, yeah.
And you know, that's so ironic with the idea that anybody at any age could say they're bored with all the things that are available to us today. Is, I mean, for me, I just don't have enough hours in the day to ever accomplish, let alone do all that I want to do. And the idea that kids get bored, and I think the biggest culprit there is television. And I think parents that allow their kids to spend too much time in front of a TV are really harming them in big, significant ways.
Mm-hmm. Or people who are on social media. It's definitely shortened people's attention spans. But I like to say that only boring people get bored.
That's what I always say too, Peg. That's interesting.
There's, you know, if you can't think of something to do, there's definitely something
wrong. You're the boring one, right?
I have tasks and chores you can do. That usually
you're the boring one.
I'll pass on the chores, Peg.
Well, then, you know, go entertain yourself.
Don't worry. I promise I will. Well, we're almost out of time for this segment, mm-hmm. guys. So please, quickly, Peg, you go first. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Oh, everywhere. PegFitzpatrick.com, and I'm at 12 Most, and I'm on Twitter at Peg Fitzpatrick.
And Paul?
Paul, last name is BiedermanN. It's Biederman. I spell it just because, you know, if I say it, you won't be able to find it. But my first name, Paul, last name is Biederman, and you can find me at all those platforms as well.
Okay, terrific. And that's 12most.com, a phenomenal site. I am proud to be a regular contributor. I look forward to talking with you figuratively tonight at Dad Chat. Thank you, Peg and Paul. We will be back for some closing remarks after these words.
Latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.